Hello and welcome to Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 8th of October 2007, brought to you by azonano.com. My name is Stuart Cameron. In this edition of Azo Nano News, as well as bringing you the latest news from the international nanotechnology industry, we'll be talking with Brian Patman from MEMSTech. Brian talks about the MEMS-based products produced by MEMSTech and the art of their products. And from the world of nanotechnology, we'll hear about the difference between a left-hand and a right-hand vortex. We'll hear about a new gel that's helping scientists to grow new human tissue. And of course, we'll be hearing about two of this year's Nobel Prize winners. These stories and more in this edition of Azo Nano News. Aspen Aerogels has been awarded a contract to supply its advanced space loft aerogel insulation for a 21-kilometre undersea natural gas pipeline being built by Technip for Petrobras in Brazil. The rigid pipeline will connect the Canapu field, which is 1,700 metres deep, to the Cidade de Vitoria floating production facility, which is 1,400 metres deep. This will be the first pipeline in Brazil to use a pipe-in-pipe design, which has a production pipe surrounded by a carrier pipe with insulation in between. Technip chose Spaceloft insulation because it offers the lowest thermal conductivity while being much thinner than other pipe insulations. This means the outer carrier pipe can be smaller, saving substantially on steel weight over the 21-kilometre line. Spaceloft comes in flexible blanket form, which simplifies installation. There are right-handed and left-handed yogurts, right-handed and left-handed snail shells, and right-handed and occasionally left-handed screws. But scientists at the University of Bonn have now demonstrated the existence of right-handed and left-handed magnetic vortices. Through their research, in collaboration with colleagues from Berlin and Geneva, they believe that this physical phenomenon could eventually lead to the construction of faster and more reliable hard disks. The magnetic vortex can be pictured like a traffic roundabout, but instead of cars circulating, it consists of an arrangement of magnetized atoms. They form a pattern rather like a ring of tiny bar magnets, so nothing actually moves around the atomic roundabout, but the direction can change. When the north poles are all pointing clockwise, the magnetic vortex is right-handed. Otherwise, the vortex is left-handed. This finding is extremely interesting from a fundamental research standpoint, but there could also be some very practical consequences in terms of technological applications. Another advantage is that no electricity has to flow to generate the electrical fields, so in principle, storage devices, for instance, can run much faster. A single solar cell produces a relatively low output. It's a case of strength in numbers. Tiny strips of metal are used to link cells together. If the laser soldering temperature is too high, the soldering joint may fracture. A new system, however, provides automatic temperature regulation to prevent this from happening. Researchers at the Fraunhofer Institute for Laser Technology have developed a non-contact soldering system in which the temperature is constantly monitored. If the temperature deviates beyond set limits, the system automatically adjusts it to an acceptable level. The system is already in use for industrial surface engineering applications. Solar applications could be on the market in a year or so. The researchers' next project is to develop a faster, more reliable method of connecting solar cells by means of laser welding. This year's Nobel Prize in Physics has been awarded for the technology that is used to read data on hard disks. It's thanks to this technology that it's been possible to miniaturize hard disks so radically in recent years. Sensitive readout heads are needed to be able to read data from the compact hard disks used in laptops and some music players. In 1988, the Frenchman Albert Fert and the German Peter Grünberg each independently discovered a totally new physical effect, giant magnetoresistance, or GMR. Very weak magnetic changes give rise to major differences in electrical resistance in a GMR system. A system of this kind is the perfect tool for reading data from hard disks when information registered magnetically has to be converted to electrical currents. Soon researchers and engineers began work to enable the use of the effect in readout heads. In 1997, the first readout head based on the GMR effect was launched, and this soon became the standard technology. Even the most recent readout techniques of today are further developments of GMR. And this year, the Nobel Prize in Chemistry goes to work in surface chemistry that has resulted in computer chips, fuel cells, fertilizers, and clean vehicle exhausts. The Nobel Prize in Chemistry for 2007 is awarded for groundbreaking studies in surface chemistry. This science is important for the chemical industry and can help us to understand such varied processes as why iron rusts, how fuel cells function, and how the catalysts in our cars work. It was thanks to processes developed in the semiconductor industry that the modern science of surface chemistry began to emerge in the 1960s. Gerhard Oertel was one of the first to see the potential of these new techniques. Step by step, he has created a methodology for surface chemistry by demonstrating how different experimental procedures can be used to provide a complete picture of surface reaction. Gerhard Oertel has founded an experimental school of thought by showing how reliable results can be attained in this difficult area of research. His insights have provided the scientific basis of modern surface chemistry, and his methodology is used in both academic research and in the industrial development of chemical processes. Scientists at Florida State University's National High Magnetic Field Laboratory and the university's Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry have introduced a new material that could be to computers of the future what silicon is to computers of today. The material, a compound made from the elements potassium, niobium, and oxygen, along with chromium ions, could provide a technological breakthrough that leads to the development of new quantum computing technologies. Quantum computers would harness the power of atoms and molecules to perform memory and processing tasks on a scale far beyond those of current computers. Semiconductor technology is close to reaching its performance limits. Over the years, processors have shrunk to their current size, with the components of a computer chip more than 1,000 times smaller than the thickness of a human hair. At those very small scales, quantum effects, behaviors in matter that occur at the atomic and subatomic levels, can start playing a role. By exploiting those behaviors, scientists hope to take computing to the next level. One day soon, laboratories may grow synthetically engineered tissues, such as muscle or cartilage, needed for transplants. In a major step forward, Cornell engineers have developed a microvascular system that can nourish growing tissues. The researchers have engineered tiny channels within a water-based gel that mimic a vascular system at the cellular scale and can supply oxygen, essential nutrients, and growth factors to feed individual cells. The so-called gel scaffold can hold tens of millions of living cells per millimeter in a 3D arrangement, such as in the shape of a knee meniscus, to create a template for the tissue to form. In theory, the system could accommodate many kinds of tissue. The embedded microchannels allow fluid with oxygen, sugar, and proteins to travel through the system. The researchers control the distribution of these solutes over both time and space within the developing tissue, allowing fine-tuning of the biochemical environment of the cells while the tissue develops. Nanoscale devices present a unique challenge to any optical technology. There's just not enough room for light to travel in a straight line. On the nanoscale, energy may be produced by radiating photons of light between two surfaces very close together, sometimes as close as 10 nanometers. Smaller than the wavelength of the light. Light behaves much differently on the nanoscale as its wavelength is interrupted, producing unstable waves called evanescent waves. The direction of these unpredictable waves can't be calculated, so researchers face the daunting task of designing nanotechnologies to work with the tiny yet potentially useful waves of light. Researchers at Georgia Tech have discovered a way to predict the behavior of these unruly waves of light during nanoscale radiation heat transfer, opening the door to the design of a spectrum of new nano devices and nanotechnologies, including solar thermal energy technologies. An interdisciplinary team of Cornell nanotechnology researchers has unraveled some of the fundamental physics of a material that holds promise for light-emitting flexible semiconductors. The interdisciplinary team has long studied the molecular semiconductor ruthenium trisbipyridine. For many reasons, including its ability to allow electrons and holes, spaces where electrons were before they moved, to pass through it easily, the material has the potential to be used for flexible light-emitting devices. Sensing microscopy and flat panel displays are among its most possible applications. The researchers set out to understand the fundamental physics of the material, that is, what happens when it encounters an electric field, both at the interfaces and inside the film, by fabricating a device out of the ruthenium metal complex that was spin-coated onto an insulating substrate with pre-patterned gold electrodes. The scientists were able to use electron force microscopy to measure directly the electric field of the device. This week's interview is with Brian Patman from MEMSTech. Brian talks about the MEMS-based products produced by MEMSTech and the art of their product development. These products include accelerometers used in a range of consumer devices, from computer hard drives to pedometers, and a new range of silicon microphones, which MEMSTech is hoping will propel them into the top three suppliers in the world in that field.
Brian, can you give us an outline of what MEMSTech does?
Okay, MEMSTech is a combination of two companies, SensePack and SenseFab. Now, SenseFab is a silicon sensor micromachining facility. Right. All we do is purely micromachining. Yep. Okay, SensePack deals with the packaging, assembly, and test. So we take our sensors from SenseFab and we do packaging and test, and then we send them direct to our customers.
Okay, and you develop all of that technology in-house?
Yes, it's all developed in-house, 100%, wholly owned by MEMSTech. Okay. Typically what we do is every product that we see, silicon microphone pressure, acceleration, or thermal sensor, they typically have their own patents on the design and also their process that's used to make it.
What sort of applications, final applications, does your products go into?
Oh, just about everything. As you can see here, you know, for the silicon microphone, is anything that deals with handheld and also mobile communications. You know, pressure sensor, it runs the gamut of everything, okay, from the consumer industry, automotive, medical industry. For what we do, we're mostly in medical and the pressure. And then on the acceleration, again, this is low-G applications. So we're talking about 2, 5, and 10G. So it's in handheld type of applications as well. And the thermal sensor is for a handheld infrared camera. It's a 32 by 32 array, and we also do an 80 by 60.
So that accelerometer technology, that's put into things like computers and stuff, if you drop it.
If you drop it with gravity, it disengages the hard drive, for example. Yeah. Or pedometers. So when you walk around, and it goes ahead and it tracks distance. We have some people using it as inclimeters for an assist. We have it in robots and toys. So it just really depends what you want to do as far as inertial is concerned.
And is there anything in particular that you're launching or promoting here at COMS?
Well, right now, you know, this is our first time at COMS here in Australia. So we're very interested to see what the Australian market really needs. As we understand it, we're looking at acoustic needs in this particular marketplace and also on the medical side, which we understand is a growing industry out here.
Sure. What do you feel is the most exciting area of nanotechnology?
Coming up with the ideas.
Yep.
And then the commercializing the ideas.
Sure.
That's probably the biggest challenge that anybody has, you know, especially in this MEMS business. Either you're an artist or you appreciate the art.
Sure.
Okay, so either you got to make it or you have to buy it and appreciate it and make sure that it works.
And for anybody that's not able to attend COMS 2000 that's listening to this, is there a particular message you'd like to send to them?
Sure, come to MEMSTech and buy our silicon microphones.
Fantastic.
We plan to be one of the top three suppliers here in the next couple years.
Okay, well thanks for your time, Brian.
Sure thing, thanks.
Azo Nano Business News. EV Group, a leading supplier of wafer bonding and lithography equipment for the MEMS, nanotechnology and semiconductor markets, today announced the successful installation of its fourth IQ aligner system for packaging applications at a major semiconductor manufacturing facility in Austria. This purchase further strengthens the customer's capacity for wafer-level packaging of MEMS and display devices, while underscoring the enabling, cost-effective nature of the IQ aligner's core technology. Tegel Corporation, a leading designer and manufacturer of plasma etch and deposition systems used in the production of magnetic data storage, integrated circuits, MEMS and nanotechnology devices, today announced that it's received additional orders for 981 ACS units from a leading hard disk drive manufacturer to support capacity expansion for magnetic data storage device fabrication. The new Tegel 981 ACS units add to the customer's extensive installed base of 900 series plasma etch systems. Rutgers physicist Emil Yazbushian has received a Packard Foundation Fellowship for Science and Engineering, which provides $625,000 in research funding for 5 years. This marks the first time the Packard Foundation has awarded this coveted fellowship to a Rutgers University professor. Surrey Nanosystems has won an order for its Gamma 1000 thin film sputtering tool from Poland's Institute of Electron Technology. The tool will be a key platform for the Institute's research and development activities into microelectronics and optoelectronics fabrication. Gamma 1000 features a highly modular architecture, making it very versatile, and the system is often selected for research and development applications. Natural Nano Incorporated, a developer of advanced nanomaterials and additive technologies, announced it has signed an exclusive licensing agreement with the U.S. Naval Research Laboratory, spanning multiple industries and broad patents in controlled-release nanomaterials. The agreement covers 10 patents and opens up an array of controlled-release applications for the company across a broad range of multi-million-dollar market segments. Vico Instruments Incorporated has announced that it has appointed William A. Tomeo to the position of Executive Vice President for Worldwide Sales and Service, which includes global field sales, account management, customer service, and field support for all domestic and international Vico customers. The 2007 Foresight Institute Feynman Prizes, named in honor of pioneer physicist Richard Feynman, are given in two categories, one for experimental work and the other for theory in advances in nanotechnology. This year, the Theory Prize was won by David Lee of University of Edinburgh, UK, and the Experimental Prize went to Fraser Stoddard of UCLA. The Foresight Prize in Communications was presented to nanotechnology author and theorist Robert A. Freitas, a Rice University graduate student, and Fung Song Oh received the Distinguished Student Prize. British standards are to publish 9 documents for nanotechnology terminology. The new British standards regarding nanotechnology will underpin the development and commercialization of nanotechnology and aid efforts to ensure that this is done in an open, safe, and responsible manner. Standards will support safety testing legislation and regulation, worker, public, and environmental safety, commercialization and procurement, patenting and IPR, and communication about the benefits, opportunities, and potential problems associated with nanotechnologies. Well, that was Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 8th of October 2007. If you have any nano courses, events or exhibitions you'd like to promote to a global nanotech audience, don't forget you can list them for free at azonano.com. To review any of the stories you've heard about in this podcast or to stay in touch with the world of nanotechnology, please visit www.azonano.com. If you'd like to send us feedback or let us know about nanotechnology news in your part of the world, please email us at podcast@azonano.com. I'm Stuart Cameron. Thanks for listening. Yeah.